Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Viewing Centers podcast. I'm your host, Tegam, joined by Edmond Oris and Williams. It's been a while, Edmond. How are you doing?
Well, Tegam, I'm fine. I'm cool. I'm chilled. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm fine. Dr. Williams, how are you doing?
I'm very okay. What's up, man? What's popping?
Yeah, I'm fine. I hope you all have recovered from your final defeats and everything. Hope you guys are raring to go now.
Well, Tegam, it has been a terrible end to the season for me. Like, at some point I had hopes of a treble and then just ended in a disaster. See, right now, nothing football-ish is exciting me until next season. Even next season, episode 1, that probably, like, see, football-wise, I'm depressed that
I'm not surprised you're depressed, because we scheduled this podcast for this week, and when I messaged you about it, you told me you had forgotten. So telling me I'm out of football in a way, I'm not really shocked about it.
Personally, for me, like I said, I don't think I'm going to watch the Nations Cup. I'm not going to, nothing really. It was just a disaster class end to the season. I'm still recovering. I need to heal and recuperate all my strengths and emotions that I've invested, because really I was hurt. I don't think any lady has ever made me feel this way. I don't even know how to explain how I feel. So it's even better now, to be honest.
Dr. Williams, you also lost the final, but as a doctor and as maybe you're moving to therapy and something, can you like organize a therapy class for Edmond so he can get back into loving football?
Can a depressed man cancel under a depressed man? Guy, as not the dirty guy. I've not been able to move or recover. I still can't believe it that we did not win. Chelsea. People that had quarrel in training the day before, they were not playing pass and shoot. The first half was okay. They were able to coordinate. Second half, they came out and they allowed that female shitty boy.
They say confuse your enemies. I think Chelsea just confused Arsenal. They had no option. Let's have the Champions League before we move into the Europa League final. It was a very it was like a vintage performance for Liverpool. They didn't really do it. They dropped down an early goal and they just closed up.
First of all, that thing was not a penalty. Secondly, the match seemed like an normal league match. There was no epitome of final in that match. So boring.
Even league matches, so boring. Even their league matches are quite interesting. And before you guys say it wasn't the penalty, because I want Edmond to touch on this, but let me read a rule. This rule from UEFA. This is coming from Roberto Rossetti. That's UEFA's chief of referee, the chief of referee UEFA. He said, when it's totally out of the body, above the shoulder, it should be penalized. If the defender is making the body bigger in order to block the ball, it is different if the defender is challenging or playing the ball and it rebounds. But if it's looking to block a cross or a shot on goal by spreading his body, it is... So that's coming from UEFA's chief. This was said in January. So on hearing that, now Edmond, do you still think it's not a penalty?
I still feel like it's not a penalty. Okay, maybe see the thing with all these footballing rules, it's very difficult to interpret. And apart from the fact that it's difficult to interpret, the officials are not consistent, because we've seen numerous cases where they've allowed that to go on and they've not given handball. For example, the Llorente's goal against Manchester City. I think we discussed about it and we talked about it, and I told you it was a penalty, and then you guys said the different rules that people are saying. For me personally, maybe from what you've read now, it sounds like a penalty, but in the first minute of the game,
it was harsh.
You can't give that. See, because in the Champions League, these players have spent literally 2-3 weeks. They've woken up every morning to come and prepare for this game. And then you go and do that 30 minutes into it. It's just not unfair. It's just very, very unfair, really. I felt like referees should have gone play on, pretended, like, not really pretend that you don't see, but just let the game go on. And it was not so much like a dangerous situation. It was not intentional. Yeah, he was trying to like raise his hand to like direct maybe his teammate to. And it was just, I felt like it was unfair. I felt he should not have given it.
I think the early goal kind of killed the whole momentum of the game.
Liverpool, he just played into Liverpool's, whether that was right from the beginning, I don't know, but he just played the game cautiously. He just activated. I think Mourinho must have talked to the team during the because it was just vintage Mourinho's performance at that game. They were not just adventurous. You see the three midfielders in front of the defense, in front of the defender, that's Fabinho, Guardado, and they did not go forward at any point in the game.
Yeah.
And then so just the fullbacks once in a while, occasionally, I think they had just one. Three shots in the whole game, two goals. I think the other shot was from the left back, Robertson, Mane and Salah, and it was just a very, very boring, stale performance for a Champions League final.
But Williams, will you not put this thoughts on Tottenham? Because also, since the goal was scored early by Liverpool, they had the chance to sit back, and Tottenham had to now go forward and like penetrate. But Tottenham, you could notice that their pass is slow, they're constantly passing back. So is it this fault not on Tottenham?
Tottenham were the better team in that match. I don't know why you.
In terms of possession,
in terms of attacking trend, possession and everything, they played better. Liverpool were playing like a team that Mourinho is coaching. I don't know. Edmund, did you notice it?
Yeah, that's what I said. I said they must have taken lessons from Mourinho.
The holding midfielders, they didn't move forward.
Okay, but what I was saying was that Tottenham were not sharp enough. They had to push everything forward, and they kept on playing it safe. I think Son, the only player that I really tried, Kane wasn't fit to start that game, and they ended up starting. I think Tottenham even started with 10 men because of the fact that Kane was not supposed to even play that match, and they left Lucas Moura. But I think the fault was Liverpool had a chance to relax because they have scored an early goal. They don't care anymore. Tottenham has to be the one to attack, and
I think Pochettino made a big mistake by starting Harry Kane. He should have gone with his usual Lucas and Son. I don't know why he took Son to the left. Son plays better on the right hand side. He took Son to the left, and I think Harry Kane should have been on the bench. He got most of his tactics wrong, Shank.
I feel another person that did very well for Tottenham was Harry Winks.
I think he was even one of the worst players. I think we define this
Harry Winks.
Yes, because he kept on passing backwards. If you watch that match, 90% of his passes were backwards every time. It was like a Mikel Obin, a colored version of Mikel Obin when he was in Chelsea, always passing back. He kept on passing.
I felt like he controlled the game well. But see, it's easy now, to say that they should have attacked, and I think they did that in the second half. But in the first half, you have to be cautious because it's the final. I mean, this is Liverpool.
Yeah.
When you push so many men forward and you commit so much. They have Salah. I think they are one of the fastest counter-attacking teams in the world. You get with Salah, Mane and Firmino. So you do that and we could be talking about 3-0 before halftime or anything, because Liverpool can do it. We've seen them literally whitewash teams. In last season against Man City, they did it to Barcelona. So I get that they were cautious, but then again, I felt that they did enough to score. They should have gotten a goal at least, but Alisson was in very, very good form. On the issue of starting Lucas and now Kane, I don't think that if Kane was not fit, he would have started. I felt like he was fit. Yes, he's lacking that match fitness.
Match fitness. He has been away from for 5 to 6 weeks.
Since April, I think April 9th. I felt like Pochettino thought that it's going to be a very tight game, a cagey game, like it's going to, like all finals will be, and then probably it will get one chance. And I think you would want the one chance to fall to Harry Kane instead of Lucas Moura. So I felt that was why he started. It would have not been a bad idea to bring Kane up from the bench though, but nobody could have predicted that they would go behind 2 seconds into the game.
Yeah, I get your point, but I feel for me, Harry Kane should have been left hand, because he saw that when they finally went behind, when they were 1-0 down, and the coach had to make substitution. Obviously, Harry Kane wasn't playing well. But because they were one goal behind Liverpool, they could not remove Harry Kane because obviously he wants to still keep your attacking players out. So they had to find a way to bring in Lucas Moura, who was, I think, their star player against Ajax. They had to find a way to bring in Llorente and still keep Harry Kane, who wasn't really contributing much in the game. So it just felt like it should have made Harry Kane to at least to maybe watch the game and maybe come in as an impact sub.
Yeah, in it didn't work out. But I feel like if the game had been decided by a Harry Kane's head at 1-0, I think nobody will be saying that it was wrong to start Harry Kane. Football is gamble. You have to gamble. And I feel like if Harry Kane was not fit enough, Pochettino knows that Tottenham can also play very well without Harry Kane because they do that very well. So I feel like if he wasn't fully fit, they wouldn't have started.
Williams, do you think the difference this season was the addition of Alisson and Van Dijk?
Yes, obviously. Liverpool they are stronger defensively, which has always been their issue.
Yeah.
And they have good attacking threats, so they can score and they can defend, which is a plus to them.
For Klopp now, I think we need to like talk about Klopp in a way because he has brought this Liverpool team from last year's losing final back to another final, and this year they've been able to win. So where do Liverpool really go from here now? How do you think they can keep on improving?
Well, take a touch on the final. I think the difference between them losing this them winning this final, losing the last one against Real Madrid, I feel like it's the goalkeeper because Van Dijk was there last season when they lost 3-1 to Real Madrid in the final.
Yeah.
But we saw the blunders that what's his name? what's the name of this their former goalkeeper now?
Karius.
We saw Karius. The blunder he committed.
Yeah,
Karius. We saw the blunders he committed for Benzema and I think for Bale. You get, but in this fixture against Tottenham, it was Alisson that literally saved them. The guy made, I think, 3-4 brilliant saves to deny Tottenham at the point where Tottenham felt like Tottenham were going to score. So I feel like Alisson has been the difference. And on where Liverpool would go, they can only go get better because, guy, that team is scary. And they got 97 points in the league without winning. And they are going to make a couple of additions. And I think lots of big, good players would want to go to Liverpool because they have an amazing project. They have a brilliant coach. They are playing good football. They are the champions of Europe. And they have good history. So I just see them getting better, really.
Okay. Williams, for Tottenham, I know they are your major rivals. Being an Arsenal fan, they have this not always spending. They want to keep money to themselves. And they didn't spend throughout last season. Do you think this was their real chance of winning the Champions League and they can come back next year like what Liverpool did?
Next year, I doubt if Tottenham will be able to go to a final again. A lot of luck was on their side this season. So it's still possible. Will they be able to keep Pochettino? Is he going to leave?
Exactly.
Are they going to make the right additions to the team that will strengthen them?
Yeah.
Norris is getting old, so they should be looking at replacing that keeper in the long term.
Yeah.
Then the defense is getting over. Vertonghen is getting old, weak, and slow. So they need to change him. They need to blend the team. And you know what comes to transfer season? New players come in.
Yeah.
How will they adapt to the current team? So, well, it's a big tax to ask, and I'm not so sure yet. It's still blurry in my head. Let me see who they can bring in the summer. Then we'll know.
Yeah,
I don't see them getting to the Champions League final anytime soon because see next season Juventus want to, like Mourinho said, he said he wants to count the number of people that want the Champions League. PSG want it.
Yeah,
Barcelona want it. Juventus want it. Atletico Madrid want it. Liverpool want it. Man City wants it. And this season, it was like the dominoes were just falling in places for Tottenham. They were lucky against Man City. They were lucky against Ajax. You don't get that kind of luck back to back. You don't. And they were not really the better team against Man City. Like I said, and I think we've argued it. I don't think they were the better team against Man City. I don't think they were the better team against Ajax.
Yeah.
So it was literally like a miracle. I don't think those type of miracles happen twice.
Yeah, I think I agree with the both of you because Pochettino is a wanted manager now. There are a lot of clubs who will be dying to have Pochettino. And now they also have to satisfy some of these their key players like Harry Kane and Dele Alli. Some of these key players, Eriksen also wants to leave apparently. And they are, you know, Tottenham, they are very stingy. Daniel Levy is very stingy with spending money on transfers. Even their salary structure structure is very, is well structured. That even their keeper, yeah, is not earning half of what Manchester United's Alexis Sanchez is earning. So that's the problem with Tottenham. They are very, very strict when it comes to spending money, and they will need to spend money obviously. So for them to get back to this, to this situation, so Liverpool, they saw Karius wasn't good enough. They brought in a better player. They brought in Fabio. They spent and reinforced their team and got themselves back to this final. So Tottenham will need to do that obviously for them to be able to get back to this stage anymore. Is there anything Edmond Williams you'd like to talk about in the Champions League final? Because I think we've kind of wrapped it up. Is there any other point you'd like to bring us from these two teams?
Yeah, what do you see as the goal
of the season? I think that's Messi, free kick against them. I think they've given it already officially, the free kick against them. I think that's the best, really. It's a breathtaking free kick. When I saw it, even because literally there's nothing Messi does that surprises me again, but I was shocked.
Next season, who are you rooting for?
Obviously, for next season, obviously Chelsea is back in the Champions League. So obviously Chelsea, I do hope things can, we'll talk about Chelsea more, shall we, when we get into the Europa League final, but obviously next season I'll be rooting for Chelsea back again.
Well, for me, definitely. I can't root for any other team apart from Barcelona. But I don't see Barcelona winning the Champions League under with the coach that we have, that's Valverde. I don't see it happening. So I think the people that have the most realistic chance of winning it, I think somebody that is going to go all out to win it, I think Man City. I think Guardiola finally be able to just fix it with this City's team. Man, I win it.
Yeah, hopefully.
I heard he called Klopp immediately after they won, before his press conference, and he was talking with Klopp and he was congratulating him and telling him that they are going to battle again next season. I feel like Guardiola will just have enough to get it.
Okay, yeah. We'll wait and see for that. Europa League final, Chelsea versus Arsenal. As a Chelsea fan, I was so proud of the team, because it was a very, very good performance from Chelsea, and it was a very bullish performance. It was fun to see Arsenal crash and burn. It was just fun. They finished the first half thinking, okay, maybe they, because I think the first half was kind of an equal game. For the first 20 minutes, Arsenal had Chelsea. For the last 10 minutes, Chelsea had Arsenal. But when in the second half, Chelsea just blew Arsenal. There was no response from Arsenal. Edmond, what did you think of the game?
I felt like the game was, this is a problem with Arsenal. And before, in previous years, yeah, we'll sit and we'll talk about how it's Arsene Wenger's fault, how it's Wenger that is something wrong with Arsenal. Has not adapted, and will give so many. But this is a different coach, and you know what makes it worse? What makes it worse is that they had just one target for the season, qualify for the Champions League, and they had two routes. You get up until the last 2 weeks of the Premier League season, their destiny was in their hands. They put themselves in a good position. They had four games to play, and all they needed from the four games was at least a win and two draws. Arsenal lost three times and drew one. And then you say, okay. Then Chelsea got third. So you thought, okay, yes, maybe Arsenal are saving it for the Europa League. And then they go to the Europa League and they completely, like you said, crash and burnt. In the second half, it was it's disgraceful. See, a small team would not get beat 4-1 in the final. I think Chelsea, the last time people played the Champions League, you did you play Benfica?
Yes, what was Europa League, yeah. It was 2-1. It was 1-1 then. Ivanovic, last minute ago, I guess.
What was the score line? 2-1. Look at the last difficult, let's go Marcel. The difference between those two teams is wide. But you see how Marcel 2-0. Over the year that Arsenal, that Man United and Mourinho played this young boys of Ajax, all them delay that were 16, 17 years. It was 2-0 with money. You get, so that's how you play finals. Finals are meant to be tight. You don't go to a, how do you go to a final and lose 4-1? Are you mad? I feel like with everything all said and done, I feel like they deserve the Europa. They should remain there. They should suffer. They are a foolish team.
Williams, as the residential Arsenal fan here, what do you think of your team performance?
Guy, you watch me. You saw my video that I uploaded, man. I was a severe face, guy. I almost cried. I couldn't believe it. First half was very okay. Second half, I don't even know what happened. Ukwani, but wasn't it? Nathan Miles. That one, I don't want to see that boy in the club next season. A proper right back.
He's a future Ashley Young.
Then Koscielny is done.
What about Ozil? You've not said anything about
Ozil. I'm coming. Ozil is finished. Ozil should be sold. I don't care anymore. I used to defend him. Ozil should go. Should go, please. I don't know where he's going to go. He should not leave.
The man is on 350,000 pounds a week. He has literally skyrocketed the wage system in Arsenal. I don't think any other person receives for up to half of what he's receiving.
Yeah.
You get so much money and then you go to the big games and you ghost. Ozil, that used to be the king of assists, Ozil has just 2 assists all season. 2.
Wow.
I used to be one of his biggest supporters and I love the way he plays football on his day, but the guy has lost it. And you know the worst part about it now is he's saying he doesn't want to leave because he knows obviously that he's not going to go to a new club. And
a new, no club will pay him that much. Exactly.
Nobody will pay 350,000. So it's just like the situation you have with Bale, where Bale has said he's not going to leave him, he's going to stay there playing golf and they'll be paying him his money. He does not care. You get it's just a terrible predicament for Arsenal. It's a terrible predicament.
So, Williams, who do you blame for this Arsenal's like this stagnancy in Arsenal? Do you blame it on Emery or do you blame the player? So is the fault on Arsenal's
Conte? Conte is the problem in that team. Conte,
obviously the man is a snake.
Is there a way to
spend money?
Is there a way to send him out of the club? Because AFC TV, or formerly known as Arsenal Fan TV, they always complain about him. And that's the same thing I'm saying, both of you are Austin Crockett. So how can Arsenal get rid of this guy in particular, since he's always...
You can't get rid of... He's the owner of the club. It's his club. He has
more
shares than any other person. But funny enough, I was reading and I read that he has not put one penny of his money into the club since he bought it. And that was why Wenger was generating money and you get sustaining the club. And that was basically because we're qualifying for the top four every year. And we're going to the Champions League. I think Manchester United that are left in the round of 16, I mean quarterfinals, they made about 80 million from the Champions League. Arsenal that got to the final in Europa League made only 32 million. So what do you do with 32 million? Which player do you buy with 32 million? And you have an owner that's not interested in the footballing aspect of the club. He does not spend his own money. He's leaving the club to self-sustain. And you are self-sustaining. You can't self-sustain on Europa League funds. You can't do that. So if Kroenke, or obviously Kroenke, he needs to show a little bit of... It was not even in the final. He sent his son. He was not there.
Yeah.
So it's just a terrible, terrible situation for us now, because everything is just disjointed right now.
Yeah, I think Chelsea might be heading into a similar situation, because obviously Abramovich was in the final. He was able to attend that match and it was fun to see him smile and everything. But Chelsea also has this problem of Hazard. He wants to leave to finally have fulfilled his dream of playing for Real Madrid. And it was Sarri, who also wants to go back to Italy. I mean, this is the best time for Sarri to leave Chelsea, because he won't be in a stadium where he's trying to implement a new idea, trying to implement attacking football. And so far, someone is singing, bleep, Sarri Bob, Sarri Bob. I don't use the word, they always sing against. but this is chance. He has fulfilled 2 goals and getting into the Champions League and winning a trophy. I think for me, this is best time. Even if me, I don't want him to leave, but I can understand the fact that he wants to go back to Italy, go back to his family, and go back to like the best team in Italy. It's not just going back to it, but going back to anything. It's going back to where he will comfortably win. He will comfortably win Serie A and also be able to get the funds they want to get some players to challenge for the championship.
I think for Sarri, I feel like he was underappreciated at Chelsea, because
exactly.
despite all the quarrels and all the fights, this man got to the Capital One Final Cup, and he lost on penalties to Manchester City.
To Man City, yes.
He finished behind Liverpool and Man City. You know, those two are beasts, but different level.
Yeah.
Without getting so much of the players that he wants, he was able to change. He was able to play his style of football. You know, I heard he's a very stubborn man. They say he's more stubborn than Antonio Conte. He was able to play his style of football at Chelsea, that everybody knows the type of football, and he has won the Europa League. So I felt like he has done his best, and he has overachieved at Chelsea. So. And like you said, if he wants to leave, it's very understandable, because I think there's a disconnection between himself and the fans. They don't really like him, and they don't like his style of play, but he has done the job that he was brought to do. So, like you said, if he wants to leave, now is the best time. Go to Juventus. He's assured of a league title every season.
Yeah. And
then he can see what's going to happen. I was really happy for him when I saw the video that they posted where he was.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that was nice. Really nice.
Edmond, since I have you on the show today, I would also use this opportunity to talk about Barcelona. How will you grade Barcelona's season and what happened in the Copa del Rey final against Valencia? I thought that was a trap guys were certainly going to win.
Yeah, I think a lot of people thought it was a trophy we were going to win. It just goes to show that winning, there's nothing routine about winning. That's why some people say, yeah, it's a wrap. You have to actually win the trophy. You get to. So sometimes when you are always winning, people tend to like take it for granted and just it becomes like a foregone conclusion. But there's actually competition there. On the issue of them losing, it was terrible. It was terrible. It just made a bad season. A promising season bad, because if they had won that, it would have, you know, kind of like, okay, make it not so bad. But then again, a lot of Barca fans wanted Barca to lose so that
Valverde will be sacked.
Yeah, so Valverde will be sacked. I was not one of them though. I felt like was a cup, and I felt like it was something that we needed to win. It was as a result of the club or the players have not been able to move on from the issue at Liverpool, the game at Liverpool. So most of them had not recovered. You could see at the first half, I watched the game. The first half they were passing. They were literally playing the game at walking pace.
Yeah.
There was no zeal, no determination. So I feel like it's a mental issue. And it's a good thing that the season ended that day, because literally if Barcelona had played 10 more games, they would have lost 10 more games. That's how bad it was. So I feel like it's a psychological issue. So that was what really just transpired, because they didn't play. It was only Messi played in that game. Even he was kind of like on the bounce from, but it was still brilliant because he's Messi. On the whole season, it was a promising season, really, because as at the beginning of May, as at May 7, we had hopes of, we've wrapped up the league, we had hopes of the treble. We get Copa del Rey final in the bag, a 3-0 lead heading to
Anfield.
And then it just capitulated. You just the kind of sabotaging it, guys. I've never seen that kind of thing in my life. And it's not just the players that need to recover. A lot of the fans still need to recover, because if you go on social media, as you see, most of the Barcelona fans are complaining. And it's not even getting any better, because Real Madrid are making signings. I think they signed Jovic. There are rumors that they'll sign Eden Hazard. There's Pogba,
Ferland Mendy of Lyon, a new left back also.
Yeah, so it's not just making anything better. And Barcelona, I've not been able to make any major signing. The signing that we brought in that will improve us, Coutinho has had a poor season. Dembele has had an inconsistent season. So it's great when he plays. He's actually does well, but he has not been able to keep himself fit. And then there's the issue of an aging Suarez that is Messi's friend, and a lot of people are saying the board are refusing to sell him because he's Messi's friend. They don't want to upset him, which I think is total BS. You get, so the club is in confusion. Then you have a manager that is not playing the Barcelona philosophy, but the players or the fans were dealing with it because we're winning. But now we're not winning again. So everybody's going back to the fact that the philosophy is not Barcelona's philosophy and you want him gone. How can you keep a manager that has bottled a 3-goal lead twice in the Champions League? Yeah. Real Madrid, immediately after the first game, you are sacked. They won't waste time. Real Madrid sacked two managers this season for losing their Clásicos. So, talk of a manager that bought to the champions. So, the issue of that, the board does not care. And they also, the club is in turmoil. It promised to be a brilliant season, but it just ended in disaster. So,
For that final, I think it just shows you guys over rely on Messi a lot. Always the over reliance. So I think once Messi retires, in my opinion, Barcelona is in a very, very big. If he retires or leaves that club, so if he gets 1 year injury, Barcelona is in big trouble. So I think something needs to change. And even Messi came out to say that he says Valverde as Barcelona's coach for the foreseeable future. So if Messi is in support of Valverde and Barca fans want him to have it out, I don't think anybody is going to have that, because I think as far as Messi is, say he's happy with the coach. I don't think Barca's board wants to like piss him off, because if you can remember what happened, but at the same time, I don't think Barca board should be listening to Messi, because I think he's at fault for one of some of these issues Barca has had. Like the time, was it not the one that recommended Tata Martino? Which Argentina manager did he mention? Did he recommend that? Yeah.
If you believe that Messi recommends coaches for Barcelona, then you also believe the story that Nigeria lost 99-1 to India. That's what you're telling me. You get.
Yeah.
Listen. What do you expect? Listen, you are Lionel Messi. What do you expect, Lionel Messi? You know the kind of personality Lionel Messi has. You know why he's calm, how he's a simple guy, he's a simple man. Yeah. Do you expect him to come out in front of the media and say, I don't like Vavadi, I don't like his work, I don't like his style, I don't...
Yeah, that's true, though. Yeah.
There's not... It's unfair that a lot of fans are expecting him to come out and say what they want to hear. Messi is not going to do that. He's not that type of person.
Yeah,
you get somebody like Cristiano Ronaldo. Ronaldo can do that. Yes, Ronaldo can do that. Maybe Sergio Ramos can do that.
Yeah,
you get. But when Pogba did it against Mourinho and he got stripped of his captaincy, a lot of people castigated him. You don't come out and say that kind of thing about your team. It's not proper. You get. So I'm not. I was not expecting, because before the press conference, a lot of people were interested to see what Messi had to say. I was not expecting, and I got what I expected. The Messi just being the Messi. You get, and on the issue of him, it's not true. Maybe behind the scenes, yes, he can talk to the person, but I don't feel Messi is the kind of person that is going to suggest that he sack a player. Plus, behind the scenes, I think the players are happy with him, because I think they can come. I don't know, but let's just see how next season goes. It looks like he's still going to be in charge. He just signed a contract extension, I think, in March. I'm sure there's also the issue of, if they sack him, they will have to pay him lots of money, because he just signed a contract extension. You get, so I feel that they are also considering that one, and maybe the fact that, and if you look at it, over the years, Barcelona have not sacked any manager since Frank Rijkaard. I can't remember if they sacked Rijkaard, but even Pep Guardiola left. What's his name? Is Tata? Not Tata Martino. The man that died.
Villanova. Is it not Villanova?
Villanova died. Tata Martino resigned.
Yeah.
What's his name? Enrique resigned. So Barcelona don't sack managers in here. We're not Chelsea Football Club. So there's also that issue too.
So
it's a difficult situation to be right. I just hope that by the beginning of next season, we just put all this behind us, because Real Madrid has strengthened, that they're obviously going to be better, and we just try and hope that it gets better.
Yeah. So how, what do you think about Real Madrid? They arrived, obviously. What do you think? How do you think their season will go? Because you said they signed Jovic. They are going, obviously, it's 90% almost certain they're going to get Hazard. 90% certain they're going to get Ferland Mendy of Lyon. A new left back to challenge Marcelo. And Pogba is kind of 50-50, because Juventus, I've learned Juventus also want him. So with these reinforcements they are beginning to get into their team, they are trying to get in new reinforcements. Do you think the next season is going to be more difficult for Barca in terms of Real Madrid getting new key players?
Yes, in the league, it's going to be more difficult, yes, because I feel they are going to reduce the gap, maybe from 18 to like 11. Barcelona will probably get Griezmann. I think they are waiting for beginning of next month for his release clause to review before they can activate it. They'll probably get Griezmann. But see, Tiga, it does not matter. And I've said it. I think I put a tweet out today about it, that Real Madrid can get all the players that they are getting. Hazard, Jovic, Ronaldo, the real one, the fake Ronaldo. They can get Pele, they can get Maradona. None of these players are going to be as consistent as Lionel Messi will be over a 38 league game season. Yeah. So except if they are going to win the Champions League, that Williams has said, good for them, because that one has many. But in terms of league and Spanish dominance, La Liga, I don't see them winning. No, even with Hazard and everybody, you are not going to be as consistent as Messi. In the last 10 years, they have won it 7 times. Out of the 7 times, one of the seasons, Messi was injured. Guy, it's not going to be possible away. But they'll close the gap tight, to be tight. And I feel like the competition, the race is going to be more interesting than it was this season, where they were just said, I think they lost 18, maybe 20 games, which is outrageous for Real Madrid. It's not going to be that bad again, but it'll get better. But still, I just feel it's still not going to be enough.
Okay, so on that note, we'll bring to end the Vincent season one, the end of season one podcast for Vincent. And the off season, we'll get to talk about the Nations Cup. We'll talk about the Nations Cup, Nigeria's performance. We'll talk about the Nations Cup when it's all over. We'll be able to recap everything as that happened. Obviously, we all pray Nigeria will be able to do well. We'll also be talking about the FIFA World Cup during that period. And once in a while, we'll also be coming on the podcast. So look out for that. On the podcast, we'll be recapping the transfer news, transfer speculations throughout the off-season and what is happening in the transfer window. We'll also be doing that. So there are lots of topics also we'll be addressing towards the off-season podcast. So we are not done. So before we wait for the new season to begin, we have lots of things to keep us busy throughout the off season. Edmund, will you be rooting for Nigeria in the Nations Cup? Why are you at the beginning of the podcast? You said you don't want to watch the Nations Cup. But subconsciously, will you be rooting for Nigeria? Is that another African country you ported to?
When I'm not a madman, Tigger, what's that? When I'm not a madman, obviously, I'm in Nigeria. Like, I have the black man blood in me, Trunch. I have the Nigerian blood in me, so I'm definitely going to be rooting for Nigeria. I think they can win it. They have a good team.
Yeah.
They have a good team.
What do you think about the Super Falcons in there in the World Cup? Do you think they can finally leave the group stage? Because I don't think they've ever left the group stage of the World Cup. Or I think they've maybe left the group stage, be able to qualify one from the group stage. But it's always
I can't say anything when it comes to in terms of international football. I cannot, apart from the under 17 and under 20, that's where Africans or African countries tend to perform better. But once it comes to the senior team, both male and female, I can't say anything positive about Africa. I'm sorry, but African football has a long way to go. So do I think the Super Falcons? No, I don't think they can qualify. I don't.
Well, I do hope they have a very tough group because they have France in that group and Norway in that same group. So I hope they can get their ass together and maybe finishing above France, I think is impossible. Against Norway is going to be very hard because Norway, they have a very good team. And the only thing going against Norway is the fact that this all winner Ada Hedenborg, she has refused to play for Norway due to some issues, some female issues she's had with the FA. But aside from that, I just hope the Falcons, I think they have Oshuala who is doing well for your female team. I think you should be able to root for Oshuala to at least perform since she plays for Barca. And I think they just signed up. I think they just signed up permanently.
Yeah, I heard about that. That's good news for her, really. But really, no, I can't root for. I don't. I just.
But you don't just see them, yeah.
I don't just it's not going to be. She's not going to be enough. But the African Nations Cup, I may change my mind and decide to watch it. I'm sure I'll watch it. Definitely, it's football. I love football. I think I'll watch it.
Yeah,
it'll be interesting to see it for the Nations Cup. Well, I don't know about the female. I don't think I'll see the female. But for the African Nations Cup, I'll definitely be interested. I hope Nigeria can lift it.
I think anything less than getting into the final, I feel it's a failure for us because we have good players now. And we have players who are good enough to conquer Africa. We have Onyeka is on form. We have Mikel who is back playing football. And Mikel is back to Super Eagles. So we have good players in that same.
We will be
scoring. So I just hope they can get to the final. I'm not saying they should. I hope they win it, but I think if they don't get to the final for me, it's like a failure on that part. On extra time, let's discuss. On extra time, I saw this tweet that was trending on Twitter recently about prom in Nigeria or something. Something related to that. Was there a prom in your secondary school, Edmund?
There was prom in my secondary school for the set before me and the set after me.
Are you serious?
For me and the set, but not my set.
Was it officially named prom or end of year party?
No, it was prom. It was prom. It was a prom party. We had end of year party and we had prom for the two set.
Yeah, what was the dress code back then? Because I can remember mine, but I wanted to go first because mine is a bit funny.
The dress code—it's the way the white dress. Now you come with your dates.
Are you serious?
You dress corporately with your suits, and she wears her gown. And the whole set—it was a nice. I never went though. Well, I heard stories. I heard stories. So, but I saw pictures also. It was normal. Normal date setting. Your suit and your dates with a gown.
Yeah. I went to a boarding school for those who don't know. I think it was also named prom, and so it was kind of funny. It was just just have a touch of white. You don't need to wear a full white and white. Have a touch of white, or wear something very nice and fancy and look beautiful, but just have a touch of white. And at the end of the day, I think they do this prom stuff where they give the best dress award person for the night.
They do that.
And do you believe that the person that won best dressed male actually borrowed every single thing he wore that night? he borrowed a shirt for me, which was smaller, but he brought a trouser. I can never forget his dress. He brought the ash colored trouser. He borrowed tie, but and he won best dress. And I did not say anything special in his dress, but I was not struck that. When we go back to this, we were laughing that the person who actually won best dress, because was actually, I think, our lecturer or group of judges that gave best dress. And we all laughing that, how come we all dress, and you see some people, they wore killer things, you know, then big boys, glasses, sunshades in the night, and jeans, trousers, all this crazy stuff. And we all go back to the hostel, and all of us burst into laughter, because obviously we couldn't see it in front of the ladies.
Was your school a mixed school? Did you go with a date?
Did I go with
a date? Did you have a date?
Yes, I had a date, but having a date wasn't compulsory. But yes,
what was her name? Obviously, it's not composed, because not all guys can get a date. What was her name? You still remember?
Her name is Abigail, and we still keep in touch once in a while. Her name is
Hello, Sha.
No, it's not love. We keep in touch. Like, hi, I hope you're good. Like, once in a while. The last time we spoke was, let's say, three weeks back. It's been a while. But
I think for my set, the ceremony did not hold because they said my sets were stubborn and so they wanted to punish us. But before then, everybody had dates. People were ready already.
Mm-hmm.
Ready already. That's tautology. But people were like prepping for it and hyped for it. But I wasn't hyped for it though. I had a date.
I'm shocked that you had a date. That's shocking.
You
are what? I said that's shocking that you had a date.
No, you don't know what is going on. I had a date, but it was a complicated time for me. So at that point, I think they canceled it because of me, because I was praying actively that they canceled it. And now that they've canceled it, and later, a couple of years later, when I started thinking about it, I was like, I didn't get to experience prom in my secondary school, which I think was wrong, because it's something everybody should experience. It's something that lives with you forever. And when I thought about it, I was like, what was I thinking then? It was foolish. You should have heard. Yeah. But we didn't get to do that.
well, that was fun then though. Eh? Secondary school memories. Well, Edmond,
thanks for
joining me on the podcast. You can follow Edmond on Twitter at Edmond Oris. You can follow the show on Twitter at View Center Pod. And you can follow me on Twitter at hashtag Tega. That's at hashtag Tega. Edmond, it's always fun. It has been fun catching up with you throughout this whole season of football. And coming for next season, where we'll have lots of things to talk about, and during the off-season also, where we have various other topics to address.
I'm always at the beck and call of your service, and at the service of the Green Center podcast. Really, it's been a privilege. It's one of the things that I look forward to every week. I come here to talk about sports and talk just to catch up, really. It's something that I love, and I'm grateful for the privilege.
It's been fun. I think I should next season, think maybe towards the beginning of next season, I should update the podcast artwork and include your picture somewhere else.
that would be nice.
I think I should work on that maybe towards the beginning of next season.
We should
All right, man. Take care of yourself. Do have fun.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah. All right, guys, that ends the Viewing Centers podcast. Thanks for joining us throughout the season. We've had lots of support throughout the season on iTunes. It's been fun. Listeners and downloads has increased throughout the season, and it's been fun catching up with everybody. Take care of yourselves, and let's regroup towards the beginning of next season and during the off season. We have lots of things to talk about. Take care, guys. Cheers.